the cats in Afghanistan and Kabul at the American embassy campus. They have a bunch of feral cats, and so there's a big argument because apparently a couple of the people that live in this compound, that they call it the duck and cover because they can't leave. You know, they're in Afghanistan. They can't leave. They really don't have much of a life. And somebody got bit by one of the cats, so they complained, and then they're threatening to kill the cats. But the people that live there are saying, but they don't have any family. They don't have any kids there. All they have is the cats. So there's a big argument going on. And now they're settling the argument instead of just learning to get along with it. For heaven's sakes, let them have their cats. They're going to send them to a cat rescue sanctuary in Berkeley, California.
Okay.
Yeah. look at that. This was what I was telling you, Dr. Bill. This, and I'm interested in checking out next week with Robin. There's a big editorial in last Sunday's paper, and we've talked about it not a lot on the air, but the state of the condition of spotted owls and the fact that they've been endangered, and now the proposal from the Forest Service, they want to kill thousands of barred owls to try to save the spotted owls. But this editorial, if you haven't seen it, it was in last Sunday's Times. Pull it up. It says, "Misguided plan won't save owls or old growth." And it's quite an enlightening article by a scientist who has really studied the owls and the forest. And according to this editorial, it's all being done so they can cut trees in the old growth forest. Go figure. Anyway, we will be addressing that next week. And then I do have some good news. We'll forego the music. Oh, God, maybe we better not. What happened to the sun? Isn't the sun supposed to be out for Seafair and all of that? Where did it go?
It's behind the clouds.
I guess so, but yeah. See, the window's behind my back now, folks, so I didn't see that. But when I was driving down here, the fog was lifting, and I saw some sun.
Well, we're going to be here till noon. I'll give you a heads up if I see the sun come out.
Okay. Well, did you hear about the big jellyfish they found at Kayak Point in Snohomish this week?
I saw a picture of that.
Yeah, it was very cool. And they got a lion's mane jellyfish,
that was
red
huge.
And yellow. Yeah, that was really well. I'm sorry that it had to die, but at least you know it washed up on the beach, so we could see what one looks like. And they're apparently the largest species of jellyfish in the area. And this one was, well, I don't know, several feet in diameter. Big, cool jellyfish. Hey, good news that, we've talked about this, the drug traders coming across the Mexican border that abandon the horses, and they're, well, there's a horse rescue in Arizona, Jumpin' Jack Ranch, that is now rescuing all of these abandoned and abused drug horses year-round, and they're treating them, and getting them healthy again, and then adopting them out. So good news is the horses are no longer struggling. And let's see. I have not heard a lot about, you know what lamprey fish are?
Yeah, I think they have a problem with those in the Great Lakes.
Well, we got a problem here, too, because apparently they can't make the turns in the fish ladders in the dam. So they're like, there's only one place in the state now you can find them. But the Northwest Native American tribes are working to restore the lamprey. So at least somebody's caring about them. And my best good news story is Andre, an endangered green turtle. Y'all see, hear about that? That, thank goodness somebody cares. He's being carried to the ocean floor. There's a photograph of him here in a turtle sling after a 414-day stay at the Loggerhead Marine Life Center in Juneau Beach, Florida. Andre was found more than a year ago stranded on a sandbar and split open by multiple bolt strikes.
Jeez.
But they healed him, and they were putting him back in the ocean. So there you go. All right, there's the good news. So we're going to close out this hour, it's last hour, start up the new one. We are going to run our summer tip because we have had summer weather. It even got above 80 this week, so you got to watch out for your animal friends. Don't let them overheat. We'll do that. Then we're going to come back. Open phone lines. So if you have an animal medical care question for Dr. Bill, give us a call. Local number 425-373-5527. And toll free is 888-298-5569. We're here until noon. It's Vet Sunday right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha with Animal World's tips for summer, which realistically are probably better labeled summer warnings and precautions. Now, you can't really argue with the fact that summer is a great time of year. With the warm weather and longer days, we spend a lot more time outdoors, and for many of us, much of that time is spent in the garden. Well, if you love your garden and there are animals in your family, there are a few things to be aware of. Most of us know that fertilizers, weed killers, pesticides, and insecticides can be very toxic for our dogs and cats. Fortunately, these days, there are many safe, non-toxic alternatives that are actually better for our environment as well as our animal friends. I hope you'll take the time to find and use them. Hopefully, you also know that traditional slug baits, especially the powdered stuff, is not only highly toxic and will kill dogs and cats, it is also very attractive to them. Slug bait tastes like candy to our dog and cat friends, and most will work hard to get to it. So please be very careful about using and storing it, or better yet, don't even buy that stuff. Now, something you may not know, and I say that because I didn't know until recently, there is a cocoa mulch being sold in our area at familiar stores that is very toxic to animals. It contains theobromine, the same chemical found in chocolate that is poison to dogs and cats. Now, maybe you know about all these things already and would never keep them around your house or use them in your yard. But what about your neighbors? Because you never know what others are doing, I recommend you do not allow your dogs off leash to run through neighbors' yards as you walk through the neighborhood. Not only is keeping them on leash the right thing to do, it also could save their life. Another potential poison for our animal friends is antifreeze. It also tastes like candy to them, and they are highly attracted to it, and unfortunately, it kills quickly. So if you do your own radiator servicing, please be careful handling the antifreeze. After draining, dispose of the contents immediately and responsibly. If you spill any, clean it up right away. Better yet, don't mess with the bad stuff. Spend a little more and use the safe, non-toxic antifreeze. Another summer FYI, mostly for your cat friends, especially those that like to chew on plants. You probably know that some houseplants are toxic, but did you know that some flowers are too? Unfortunate but true, one of my personal favorites comes to mind, lilies. I have them in the yard, but not in my house. If you want more information or a list of toxic plants and flowers, the ASPCA website at www.aspca.org is where to get it. Also, in case of emergency, write this number down, the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center, 888-426-4435. That's 888-426-4435. Write it down and post it someplace prominent. Finally, what we love the most about summer, the sun, is probably the biggest potential hazard for our animals, especially our dogs. Heat prostration or heat stroke takes the lives of many dogs every summer because their humans aren't thinking. Because dogs have a higher body temperature to begin with and cannot sweat off heat like humans, they can seriously overheat much faster than you might think. On a 70-degree day, a car left in the sun, even with windows partially open, can reach a deadly temperature for a dog in only 10 minutes. So my general rule of thumb during the summer, unless you are sure you can park undercover or in the shade, leave the dog at home. Remember, the sun moves, so just because you park in the shade does not mean the car will remain shaded. You will need to check on the car and dog frequently. I suggest every 10 minutes.
Now, there may be times that you have no choice but to take your dog with you in the car during hot weather. If that's the case, be wise and be prepared. Take water and a bowl with you, a leash and collar so you can take the dog with you if necessary when you leave the car. And just in case you can't take the dog with you, say you're going into a restaurant, have a crate along. There are collapsible models for easy storage in the car. You can crate the dog in the shade outside of the car. Dogs and other animals can also overheat in a house if they're confined in front of a window and the sun comes through. So pay attention on this one if you're confining a puppy or caring for an elderly, sick, or convalescing animal. Sadly, I had a client years ago that left a paralyzed dog resting comfortably in front of a closed sliding glass door. When the sun came out, the dog could not move away from the window, and when the owner came home, the dog was dead. Please don't let this happen to one of your animal friends, and remember the same is true for birds, small caged animals, and fish. Also, avoid overexerting your animal in hot weather. Exercise is fine when taken in moderation, but obesity, old age, underlying disease, and previous bouts of heat stroke can predispose an animal to the condition. And remember, some dogs don't know when to quit, so you may need to be the wise one and stop the game for rest and cooling off periods. I hope you never need this information, but if you ever find a dog in an overheating situation, here are the important things to do and remember. Be careful and remember to breathe and stay as calm as possible when you handle the animal, especially if they do not know you, as they may be in shock and could bite. Cool them down as soon as possible. Get them into a cooler, well-ventilated area if available. You can put them into a stream or a lake or a bathtub of cool water. Hose them down or soak towels in cold water to lay over them. The biggest danger is the brain overheating, so if resources are limited, put a cold, wet towel on their head first. Call your vet or emergency clinic to let them know you're on the way and get your animal friend there for treatment as soon as possible. Pet owners can be held criminally liable for committing cruelty to animals if a pet dies or is found suffering from heat prostration. If you see an animal that may be in need of assistance, or if you have questions about this kind of situation, you can call the Seattle Animal Shelter at 206-386-PETS. That's 206-386-PETS. Okay, that's it, I hope. What you need to know to keep your animal friends safe this summer. Stay with me now, because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our Seafarer edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that'll bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And by the way, when you go to the KKNW website, be sure and take the annual listener survey. That's how, when you get to tell the station what you like and you don't like and all of that good stuff, and you can vote for your favorite shows and all of that. And then, of course, you get entered in a great contest to win a fabulous trip up to, well, let's see. Well, we usually send you to Canada, don't we? I think we do. I know I have the cheat sheet here. There. It even says 2011 Alternative Talk 1150 Listener Survey Cheat Sheet. So where do you think you're going, Gary?
I don't know. You have the cheat sheet. You tell me.
I was just seeing if you were paying attention.
I always pay attention. What was that?
Let's see. Where are you going? A round trip on the Victoria Clipper from Seattle to Victoria, B.C. And you get a continental champagne breakfast en route. You get one night stay, and you get to choose your hotel this year. You can stay at the Oswego Hotel, the Fairmont Empress. That would be my choice. The Delta Ocean Point Resort. Well, that sounds like it might be nice. And the Hotel Grand Pacific. Now, are you checking something out? You're typing away again.
I know. I'm really busy.
Uh-huh. And so you could win. And I think a couple years, an Animal World listener has won the trip. Ah, see, he's not going to get accused of no sound effects here.
Yeah, see? I thought I'd play the Canadian national anthem underneath this.
I was going to say, it sounds like something official to me.
Well, I thought he was going to bring the cougar thing up.
No, not yet.
Not until he finds the Husky fight song. And so you're going to Canada. This is the Canadian national anthem, huh?
Yeah. The instrumental version, so you could keep reading and not be distracted.
Okay, so go to www.1150kknw.com and click on 2011 Listener Survey. At the top of the page, it says. Gary, look at him. He is so proud of himself.
I am proud of myself.
That's a nice anthem, though.
Well, did you get us any hydroplane sound effects or Blue Angel sound? No, let's not play the Blue Angels.
That'd be loud.
They used to rock. They would rock the foundation of my house in Seattle. One would fly right. One flew over so close my house in the pattern that you could actually see the guy's face, the pilot's face, in the plane. So Annie Golden was not a fan, let me tell you. So hide your dogs in the basement. And I suppose, do they, when it's cloudy like this, can they still fly the high program with clouds like this? Does anybody know? Ah. What do we got here?
Is that a lawnmower?
Yes.
That sounds like a cat screaming.
It wasn't quite what I thought it'd be.
What was it supposed to be?
Supposed to be a speedboat.
Oh. Well, yeah, hydroplanes are like jet engine type sounds.
Yeah.
And rooster tails and all of that. Oh, well. Now, I bet if you turned the TV on, I bet there might be something on TV. We could actually see if there's anybody on the lake. And we could tell everybody. I can see you're running to turn it on.
I think you'll get distracted when it's on.
You can't see it. It's behind your back.
No, I can't see it. I said I think you'll get distracted. I was accusing you.
Well, that's very possible. It might be necessary if somebody doesn't call. Anyway, so actually, we are in the middle of Vet Sunday. Dr. Bill Burlingame is here from Quilceta Vet Clinic in Marysville. And we would love to entertain your animal medical care questions. And now that's not going to cut it. So who's the official Seafair channel this year? Is it probably 4, 5, or 7? Used to be Como, because I used to get preempted on Seafair Sunday when I did Animal World on that station. We got the day off. But now, see, he doesn't even know how to work the TV anymore. He can't work the remote because he doesn't use it because it's behind his back. Did you forget how to use it? He did.
I don't think it's my problem.
Oh, you think that the remote just doesn't work?
There's a great chance of that, yes.
Huh. Well, that just shows you that probably not anybody watches TV here anymore. Well, not, that's interesting. All right, here are the phone numbers. Local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. And we would so much appreciate it if we had some animal medical care questions to talk about. And since we've talked about that Dr. Bill is one of the most experienced in treating the Pleckner syndrome, but Dr. Bill does a lot of other great stuff as well. And we talked a little bit about the mushrooms and transfer factor and stuff, and and you're quite involved with that, aren't you?
Yeah, let me, that's been a special interest for 10 or 11 years.
Yeah, that's what
but
I thought.
Actually, what I'm most excited about, and I think I probably shared these studies with you a little bit previously, but in using these transfer factor-based mushroom blends that we know dramatically enhance activity in the immune system, we've done studies on goats and pigs in affecting the body's ability to respond to the rabies vaccine.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
And what we did, and it's a really long story, so I'll shorten it up real short, but in goats and pigs, which you don't normally immunize for rabies, so they wouldn't have any background titers, okay, maternal antibody or anything like that. What we did was to develop in the supplemented groups and the control groups when you control when you look at the titers. So what we did was we took everybody in the test and we did a baseline rabies titer through Kansas State University. And then we had a placebo that we gave to the controls, and then we gave our supplement to the supplemented groups. And then we checked the antibody titers about 3 to 4 weeks later. And in the supplemented group, we had a 4 to 8-fold increase in the antibody titer over baseline. No one's ever done that before.
Wow.
That's huge.
Wow, yeah.
That is really huge. And then we did some studies, and actually, to go back to the swine study, we had Dr. Dodds look at that data. And she's really excited about potentially doing a canine model study with rabies vaccines.
Well,
and
she's,
our
and she's doing something else with rabies vaccines.
She's
vaccine,
doing the Rabies Challenge Fund.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right. So if you go to the rabieschallengedfund.org.
Right. I've got that on current events, I think, in the or of interest section on my website is how to go to that.
And she looked at our study, our data from the swine, and she goes, oh, my gosh.
But so she, when in the rabies challenge she's doing, she's trying to prove that rabies vaccines last longer than we currently say they do.
And I think they're in their fifth year of study. They're running titers and looking to see what's going on. So
when they're doing a study like that, for people that don't understand, what do they do, vaccinate dogs and then do titers on them every
I think they run titers. I don't know what their schedule is, if they're doing it every year or every other year or every third year. I don't really know.
And for anybody that doesn't know, why don't you explain to us what a titer test
is? A titer is a measurement of the protective proteins or immunoglobulins that our body uses to fight off viral infections. Now, the immunoglobulins are really only a measurement of half the immune function, okay? The other half of the immune system function is what we call cell-mediated immunity, which in really simple terms is the cells that run around like little Pac-Man and chew stuff up.
Okay.
So you got two arms of the immune system. You've got cell-mediated immunity, and then you've got the antibody-mediated immunity. And they work together, and really, you can't just pick out one aspect of the immune system and measure what's going on because, as I like to describe it, the immune system is kind of like a spider web. And when you tug on one part of that spider web, the whole thing moves. And so if you're affecting one part of the immune system, you're having an effect globally on the rest of the immune system in some manner. It's a very complicated system.
Yeah.
So that's showing the ability to safely enhance antibody production is a huge step forward. Now, the reason is that that's important is that if we can, let's say in our puppies and kittens, if we can enhance the level of antibody production, okay, and get a higher level faster, then ideally we could lessen the number of immunizations and yet get a longer protection.
Uh-huh.
So what we need to do in the canine model is we not only need to prove that that's consistent with goats and pigs.
Right.
Okay, we also have studies in cattle for leptospirosis. And what's interesting, in cattle, we use the pig parvovirus in cattle because they wouldn't have any background maternal antibody. We had the same numbers in our bovine studies or cattle studies where we had, on average, a 4 to 8 times increase in antibody production. So the importance, again, of this.
Well, so I'm a little confused. Okay. Like when you said cattle, you said you used the canine parvo?
We used pig parvo.
Pig parvo.
Right.
So... Well, you got like two groups of cows, your control group or your
right.
placebo group and your transfer factor
right.
group.
Right.
And so you vaccinate
We took baseline values, then titer or immune protein level. Okay. Then we vaccinate them.
Oh, you vaccinate them for like part. So you can vaccinate them and without hurting them?
Yeah, that's
even
why
it's not,
it won't replicate in that species because it's we took the pig parvovirus and put it in cattle, and so that virus won't.
So you actually gave them a vaccine.
Yeah,
vaccinated pig parvo.
Right.
Oh.
So their body responds to the presence of that virus, but that virus doesn't cause disease because it's not the species it wants to live in.
I see.
So what we did...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that clears. I was confused.
We wanted to do a test where we didn't make the animal sick.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a good concept, right?
Yeah.
Well, some studies, you got to make them sick to prove that it worked, unfortunately. So basically, with cattle, we showed in that species that we had a 4 to 8 fold increase in antibody production. So our goal is, and we're soon to come out with a chewable little wafer treat for dogs and cats.
Oh.
And what we want to do is have some studies done, and maybe we can do it with Dr. Dodds, maybe we can't. We're also talking to a veterinarian at Iowa State, in fact, Dr. Jim Roth, who's a veterinary immunologist.
Huh.
And what we want to do is to come out with a treat or wafer that you start when the puppies and kittens are going through their immunization protocols, okay, and enhance the level of antibody production faster. And then if we can prove in a study that we delay what we call antibody decay. And antibody decay is that antibody level or immune protein protective level falls away with time over months to years.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit depends upon the organism that you're dealing with. But our theory is that if you're constantly reminding the immune system orally to, hey, you're pinging it, wake up, clone some more cells, produce more antibody, our theory is that we can delay or prevent decay of that protection.
Huh.
So hopefully we're going to get some studies started this year or next in the canine model, which is a lot more difficult to do, and really prove what our theories are. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of emphasis, obviously, on giving less vaccines.
Well, yeah, so as long as we're on that subject. And by the way, phone lines are open, folks, for any animal medical care questions that you have. Local number 425-373-5527. 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. With vaccines for dogs and cats, what are you currently recommending in that department? We'll start with puppies and kittens and go from there.
I normally will do... I like to see if I have to be nailed down to a black and white. Do I have to be a black and white answer?
No. You're here. You can be gray or pink if you want.
No, I'll do normally a series of 3 distemper parvo combinations, ideally.
That would be dogs.
For dogs. See, we're starting with puppies. So I'll do a series of 3s. Sometimes in some breeds like Rottweilers and things like that, or Dobies, or Weimaraners and things like that, that we may think have more genetically inherited tendencies for immune deficiency or immune weakness. I may put another immunization in around 4 to 5 months of age.
So when do you like to start them? What age?
Well, if we could measure the mother's protection, there'd be a definitive answer to that. Probably 8 to 9 weeks of age is where I feel like we're probably having some response.
Okay.
That actually leads into another study that we'd like to do in the dog, and is, can we prove, and this was actually suggested by Dr. Roth at Iowa State, is could we do a canine study that proved that we could override the maternal antibody and respond faster and higher? Because the problem in puppies and kittens and any mammal, that the problem is at a young age when you're immunizing, if there's the protection that they garnered from suckling their mother.
And they, isn't there, there's a period of time where they get that right after birth.
Basically the first 3 days of life in the colostrum.
So they have to nurse from their
mother.
They have
to nurse in general, although there is some placental transfer and depends upon the species, because each placenta or the fetal membranes varies a little bit from species to species. Okay. But in general, that colostral load of immune information, and the way I call it is, it's like a digital download of a software program from the internet to your computer.
And doesn't that mean, in theory, though, that mom has to have immunity to begin with?
Excellent point. If mom doesn't have immunity, then that
she
information
can't download nothing to the kids.
There's nothing passed along. But when that newborn suckles its mother in the first 3 days of life, it's getting that immune information and it stores it for a while. It educates the newborn's immune system. It kind of wakes up the newborn's immune system. And so that maternal protection lingers for anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks. Depends upon how much they got and how they responded. So if you have a high maternal protection at 6 weeks of age and you immunize at 6 weeks, those animals normally won't respond because that maternal antibody theoretically negates the vaccine.
It treats the vaccine like it were the disease.
Exactly.
And basically
neutralizes it. And so the newborn, the six-week-old, doesn't get a chance to respond because mom's still backing it up. As you get older to 8, 9, 10, and 12, that maternal protection decays or goes away. And then when you immunize a pet in that window, then their immune system is doing the job, and their immune system starts to build the memory cells, the immune memory cells. And then when you booster that vaccine, you get what they call an amnestic response or a stronger, longer memory response. The immune cells were vaccinated or exposed to the organisms at 8 to 9, and then they get it again at 12 or so, and they go like, oh, I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really going to build a long memory this time because I think I might see that again.
Gotcha. Okay.
So the immune system has memory, and if it didn't, we'd get sick all the time. So that immune system has memory, but what's interesting is of course, there's an individual basis, but there's also a variation on duration of immunity based on the individual organism you're dealing with. And, for example, that's what Dr. Dodds is trying to prove, that the rabies antigens or the rabies virus is such a strong stimulus to the immune system that that antibody protection or titer may last 5 or 10 years.
Well, and that's an interesting question, because rabies, like you're talking about when we were talking puppies, and or kittens, you give a series when they're younger. But rabies, you usually only give one, don't you?
You give two. Well, you give one initially. And again, the immune information, or what they call antigenic load, in the rabies vaccine is really high compared to regular vaccinations. So when you get that vaccination, your body is being heavily challenged by a killed virus. It won't produce disease, but it definitely produces a strong memory. And some of that has to do with that specific virus, okay? And if you do it at 4 to 6 months of age, which most people do, there's probably not much maternal background memory anyways because it's gone. So you could do the same thing with distemper parvo vaccines. You could vaccinate once or twice as long as they didn't get sick before they got vaccinated. So we don't know that we don't know how fast that mother's protection, the maternal protection, goes away. That's why we start early, because we don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious what you'd recommend with, like, puppies. And if we have a maternal immunity.
Right, tighter.
A tighter, yeah. and we're vaccinating.
Mm-hmm.
There is, as a behavior therapist and trainer, there's good reason when puppies are relatively young to socialize those puppies with humans, with other dogs, mm-hmm. animals. But a lot of vets, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, my vet said don't take the dog anywhere. Well, how do you feel about socialization when they're young?
Well, that's a really good question, and a lot of times that's good advice. So,
what, don't take them anywhere?
Well, not just anywhere, but yeah. Let's be reasonable about it. If you're going to start taking puppies to dog parks, well, there's a good chance you're going to pick up a nice strong street virus there or something that's, I mean, if a lot of dogs are going to one place, there's a chance that your pet could get sick. So, but if it was, let's say, a coronavirus, then that's not life-threatening. It'll probably be sick for a couple days. If there was a strain of distemper virus at the daycare, of course, at most daycares for dogs, they're doing good sanitation levels, okay?
Mm.
But if you're at a dog park,
yeah, who knows?
If it's not sunny, which is important for sanitation, UV light trying to inactivate the virus.
Well, if you're here today.
If you're here, I wouldn't go to the dog park today. So I take your pet somewhere where there's not a lot of strange dogs to socialize, and to a friend's house.
Okay, so that's safe to do if we
sure.
know the animals and know
within
they're healthy
reason.
And all
I mean,
that sort of thing.
You don't know what's all going right. on out there. So
well, let's jump on this while we have the opportunity. We've got somebody on the line, and it looks like we're going to Seattle. It's Renee. Good morning, Renee. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Bill.
Hello, Martha. Hello, Dr. Bill.
Good morning. How's Benji?
I'm only too familiar to you.
that's our Renee.
That's Benji's mom.
That's Benji's mom.
Yes, Benji's mom.
Gary, I need a little volume in my headset because I'm having a little trouble hearing Renee.
Okay.
Gary's going to turn you up, Renee, so hold on
good.
A minute here. Can you hear her okay? Well, you heard her better than me because you recognized her voice before I did.
Got it.
All right. Renee, say something to me again.
Okay, how about this?
All right, that's much better. Thanks,
good.
Gary. All right, so go ahead, Renee.
What I wanted to comment on is that I have had Benji's titus taken for the past 6 years now.
Oh.
He hasn't had a rabies shot for 6 years.
Ah.
And I have the latest report here, which is from May of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the result is 0.9 IU/ml. And there's a comment. It says rabies serology is now being reported in international units per millimeter instead of in titer format. A booster dose is recommended if the results are less than 0.1 IU per milliliter. Any result equal to or greater than that indicates a booster is not necessary. And in his case, it's 0.9, so he is well above the 0.1.
Well, how long is it? It's been 6 years since he's been vaccinated?
Last time he was vaccinated was in 2005.
So that's about 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, and Renee, when you have these titer tests done, is that done via a blood test? And do you, I'm curious to know how much a titer blood test costs.
Was that through Kansas State?
That's Kansas State,
yeah.
Yes. It goes apparently first to the Phoenix Laboratory
mm-hmm.
That's our local lab here. Okay.
They're reporting, but the test is performed at KSU Veterinary Medical Center in Manhattan, Kansas.
And how much does it cost you to have Benji tested?
Well, now, just a second. I have to go back. It's quite expensive, unfortunately.
Well, because see that, you know, Dr. Bill, when we talking, a lot of people, when they're concerned about over-vaccinating their animals, we often say, well, you can always run a titer to see if they need it. But I'd never asked how much does that cost.
Okay, I have it right here.
Okay.
The canine vaccine titer, oh, no, this was the other one. This was for the parvo, et cetera, and that's only 102. The other one is much more expensive, and I have to...
Do you have to pay to titer for each disease?
They do a combo test for distemper parvo.
I didn't have the rabies done at the same time.
Yeah. And then the rabies is a separate test.
Okay, here's the rabies, $175.
So $175 to do the test.
The rabies titer is a pretty complicated test.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what I'd be doing is I'd be doing a rabies titer on a dog. I'd probably do it about every 3 years, practically speaking. The problem is the legality of that.
Right, because isn't it by law we're required to vaccinate for rabies under some circumstances?
Right. So, you know, if somebody was bitten by a dog that was only using titers to prove protection, a titer does not, beyond a reasonable doubt, prove protection.
Uh-huh.
It's a doggone good indicator.
I see.
But it is not, because there's more to immunity than just a titer. But it's what we can measure.
Okay. Now, Renee, is there a reason why you do the titer testing rather than vaccinating your dog?
Well, there are probably two reasons. The first reason is that when he was vaccinated in 2003, he had a terrible reaction to it. He couldn't sit for 2 days.
He also has reactions to bee stings.
Yes.
Right. And and Benji is a Pluckner dog, isn't
yes.
he?
Yes. And the second reason is, after all the discussion that has been taking place on your program, and I've discussed it with Dr. B frequently, and the local vet who I keep for emergencies, she has always been reluctant to give him another rabies shot. So she's very happy that I always have him tested just for titer.
I tell you have a dog that reacts to what we call a core vaccine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the core vaccines, your distemper and parvo and rabies and things like that. And in cats, it's your distemper and upper respiratory virus and rabies. If you have an animal that reacts to that, the second time you vaccinate them or follow-up immunizations, they might get really sick.
Yeah.
So you look at the risk factors. So what's the risk factor of being exposed to a really strong distemper parvo? With Benji's situation, probably not. But what's the risk factors of him having a bad anaphylactic reaction? They're strong.
Yeah.
So run it tighter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes sense. Now, I found it fascinating when I first discussed this vaccine subject with Dr. Pluckner, because, you know, at that time I was really looking at all the information saying, you know, we're over-vaccinating animals and all that kind of stuff, and that vaccines are bad and we shouldn't do it and all that sort of stuff. And Dr. Al said, you know, he didn't believe that, and he had dealt with a number of cases that vaccinate the animal, they have an allergic reaction. He said he would always then test them for the Pluckner syndrome. They would have the Pluckner syndrome. He would put them on protocol until their endocrine immune system was back in balance, and then he contended that he could then vaccinate them and they wouldn't have that allergic reaction. Now, have you ever found, Dr. Bill, have you ever had that be the case, or do you agree with that, or what do you
I
think?
Agree with that. I would probably say that most of my Pluckner cases, and Benji's been a special case. He's been up and down and sideways, and it's like, you know, She needs to go see somebody who knows what they're doing, I think.
Well, and Ben is very fortunate, though, that he has Renee for a mom.
Yeah,
because,
she's pretty good.
She's a very diligent owner and does all these things for Benji.
I think that most of my Plechner cases, I delay immunizations until they're normal. Just because if your IgA is not normal, and that's only half the immune system.
Yeah.
If that's not normal, then how well are they going to respond? Now,
it
would be really nice to get some dogs that had low IgAs and run pre- and post-titers from vaccines and see if they respond.
Yeah.
That would be, an interesting study. But aside from that, in most of my patients, I'm delaying, deferring, or not immunizing unless they're at high risk.
So, Renee, you said that Benji was last vaccinated for rabies in 05, right?
Right.
And had he been tested for the Plechner syndrome then?
No.
So he had not. So he was vaccinated when he was imbalanced.
You know, excuse me, let me rephrase that. I think he was probably... We may have already started on that.
Ah, okay.
Because I remember discussing with Dr. B that he had such a bad reaction. But it would have been in the very beginning, because I think it was in 2005 when I first came to see Dr. B. So.
So Dr. Bill did that rabies vaccine? Is that what you're saying?
I probably didn't vaccinate for rabies.
No.
No.
You didn't. The vaccinations have always been done here in Seattle.
Oh, okay. That's right. So it may have been done at the same time, just not by Dr. B.
I think just prior, maybe, yes.
Okay.
You know, there are some real horror stories out there if you Google, like, rabies vaccinosis.
Right, or they call it rabies miasm.
Right. If you look at vaccinosis in dogs, there's some scary stories of animals that were acutely ill within weeks to months, and it's hard to prove if it's months later, but there are some dogs that really get sick, and those dogs are probably Plechner imbalanced or the immune dysregulated, if that's a word. So,
and I don't know if traditional medicine even veterinary medicine recognizes that or treats it. Isn't it usually holistic vets that homeopathists that do something to detox the body after vaccines and
forth? Yep. And I just wonder if we'd have a lot less of that if the dogs that had the endocrine immune imbalance were under therapy and were more functional. They probably wouldn't react adversely.
And then, of course, Dr. Al threw a whole nother thing in the wrench related to vaccines, because then he started talking about, we give the same amount of vaccine to a Chihuahua as we do to a Great Dane.
Yeah.
And he believes we shouldn't be doing that.
Now, I have a story on that also.
Ah.
When I asked the vet that I go to, I said, well, in case he needs to be vaccinated, can we give him a reduced dosage? And she said, no, it's a standard dosage.
There's no studies on that, and they probably won't do the studies to really look at this. Does the size of the dog influence the dose required?
Right.
They're not going to do the studies.
I mean, Benji's a 25-pound dog compared to one that's 60 or 80 pounds.
Well, and I have to tell you, fortunately, Dr. Bill is very open-minded, and when I had my little Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks, my youngest little kitten girl, my little rescue, she was so tiny. When we vaccinated her, Dr. Bill, I asked you if you were okay with giving her a lesser dose, and you were, and we did.
Yeah.
So, and because that felt good to me. That felt right to me.
Yeah, and, well, if his titus ever run out, I think I'm going to go to Dr. Bill to have him. But, I mean, basically, I don't take him to dog parks. The only dogs he meets are the ones that live in this neighborhood. So the chances of him getting infected, except for raccoons that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if he ever tangles with a raccoon, well, that would be drastic.
It's really probably good for dogs to occasionally go to dog parks to get that sort of low-level exposure.
Well, I can tell you. I'll tell you a story, a Wendy Volhard vaccine story that she shared with me at a seminar years ago that was quite, I found, interesting. But, Renee, are you good now?
I'm good. I just wanted to pass on information.
Well, thank you so much for calling, because you shared a lot of really great information. And it was nice to hear from you.
Yeah, nice to talk to you.
And you give Benji a scratch for us.
Yeah. We'll do.
Okay, thanks for calling Animal World. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and who's ever on the phone wants to talk to us, we'll do that. If not, we'll do current events. And at some point, I'll try to remember to tell you the Wendy Volhard vaccine story, because I found it really fascinating, and I don't think I've shared that with Dr. Bill. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food's been exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all whole natural raw food sources. They've figured out a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. Comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you open it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in the missing link, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3, 6, and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, and the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. And there is a Missing Link formula for dogs, one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters as well, like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula, and a Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 1-800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387, or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
We all want the best possible health for our animal companions. At Nature's Logic, we believe the highest quality and safest nutrition for your pet comes from whole foods, not chemistry labs. So we've created the first and only full line of kibble, canned, and raw pet foods containing no synthetic vitamins or minerals. Nature's Logic uses only whole foods and 100% natural ingredients to provide your dog or cat with complete and balanced nutrition. To learn more about Nature's Logic or to find a retailer, please visit natureslogic.com.
Is your dog unable to jump into the car or onto your bed? Has your cat stopped grooming because it hurts to twist? Joint discomfort can take the fun out of life. Connectin is the first joint supplement scientifically proven to show better mobility within 15 days. Yep, 15 days. Connectin contains joint building blocks, plus 9 natural herbs to support joint health. Connectin is gentle and effective. Make sure your pet is living a vibrant, active life with Connectin. Ask for Connectin at your natural pet store. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and the latest class updates.
The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made breeze guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits in your car's windows. BreezeGuard keeps your dog in the car with the windows open. It keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to BreezeGuard.net for complete product details and information on ordering BreezeGuards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out BreezeGuards now at the Redmond Saturday Market.
Since 1935, Evinger's Dog and Cat Food Company has been the finest natural dog food company in the United States. For over 75 years, they have innovated products dedicated to wholesome nutrition free of harmful additives and preservatives. Premium quality cuts of USDA human-grade meat and poultry with market-fresh fruits and vegetables compose their revered recipes. No corn, wheat, or soy. No fillers or byproducts.
No additives or preservatives, nothing artificial, just abundant, wholesome ingredients. Make it easy to say yes to Evinger's. Visit online for more information at evingersdogandcatfood.com.
You listen to us, now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, it is Vet Sunday today. Dr. Bill Burlingame is here from Quilceda Veterinary Clinic in Marysville. He's my personal veterinarian. I, of course, think he's the best vet on the planet. Well, one of the best, because I have the handful. But you ought to take advantage of it, because he's free on the air. And before we get to any more vet stuff, though, how about, I'm thinking, Gary, gotta get ready, but we still haven't found our CD, so we don't have any music. We could play, hey, look at that. I looked over my shoulder, folks. There's a little bit of blue sky. Maybe that sun just is coming out.
Just came out.
Yeah, all right, very good. It is time for current events. So, let's see, what have we got? Well, if you remember, for all the details, go to marthanorwalk.com and click on current events. First item is, of course, updates, the information for Dee and Willa, our ladies in the high desert of Arizona. Cleaning up after the fires, after the monsoons, still helping the animals down there, and their new enterprise, Here's to a Greener Future on Planet Earth, their homesteadingconsultant.com, because Willa knows more about being self-sufficient in homesteading than pretty much anybody else, and she is now consulting to help you learn how to take care of yourselves and your own property. Let's see. Want to make sure you know that Breeze Guards, the product of the century, safety for your dog friends, especially if you like to take them around in the car. When the sun's out, they are powder-coated wire mesh screens you put in the windows. Very well made. Keep the interior temperature of the car within 1 to 3 degrees of the outdoor temperature. That's very cool. Get to the Saturday market, public market in Redmond, because they're there every Saturday. All right, now here you need to know about this. This is up in your neck of the woods, Dr. Bill. Next Saturday, August 13th, a huge NOAA adoption event. And now NOAA is the wonderful big shelter that's right off of I-5. And gosh, it's been a while since I've been up there, but I think it's right off of I-5, just north of the Stanwood exit.
I think it's the next exit north.
Yeah. Let's see, and they are having a huge adoption event. They are bringing in dogs from at least 8 shelters around the area. They're going to open the doors at 10 a.m., and they are not going to close until they adopt out 100 animals. So you got to participate. You know, if anybody looking for a dog or a cat to add to their animal family, get to NOAA next Saturday. They will have a barbecue from noon to 3 p.m., food donated by Costco, and guess what? It's served by local firefighters. Live music with 2 bands throughout the day, and they aren't closing till they adopt out 100 animals. So that's at NOAA adoption event just off of I-5, north of the Stanwood exit. And if you want more information, go to www.thenoaacenter.org, or you can call them at 360-629-7075. Now, the first annual benefit barbecue and auction for the birds will be Saturday, August 27th in Carnation. Starts at 1 p.m. and will benefit 3 local parrot rescues and sanctuaries, one of them being our favorite here, Mollywood Avian Sanctuary in Bellingham. $20 in advance, They want you to email with the number attending and mail your payment ahead of time to the Macaw Rescue and Sanctuary Incarnation. That's actually where the event will be. And if you'd like to know how to do that, go to MarthaNorwalk.com, click on Current Events. Then I've got a special entry here in honor of the global event Celebrate Japan Dolphins Day, which is September 1st. And Nancy Morris, who coordinates all the Japan Dolphin stuff here in the Seattle area, sent me this, and she sent a wonderful intuitive message from the dolphins and then a meditation request in on behalf of the dolphins and whales, and she explains how to do it and when to do it and all that stuff. So if you want those details, go to MarthaNorwalk.com, click on Current Events. Mark your calendar for Swift Night Out. That's September 10th at Frank Wagner Elementary School in Monroe. I'll be there. I don't know if Scotty's going to come out or not. He might. And